Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 8, and 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Let's stand and I'll read the scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight, and I pray that this little bit that we have to say tonight will help the people realize what goes into almost every sermon that comes from this pulpit, and help them to remember Pastor Ross in prayer for wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit and instruction and direction. And Lord, help us to be prepared to receive every sermon that comes out of here, that we might be made stronger and be used more in your service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When the world was created, God the Father was there in creation. When redemption of the soul took place, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one that hung upon the cross. Just as much God as God the Father was with God the Father when they created the universe, when they created man, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," He was talking about His Son and the Holy Spirit. They make up the triune Godhead. And then the Holy Spirit is very much in the inspiration of the Word. And that's how the Word of God came to be. God the Father spoke, Jesus obeyed, and the Holy Spirit taught the apostles and all the Old Testament prophets and everything, word for word, what to put in it. It's not man's opinion. It's not what they remembered God saying, but it's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Every word, every thought that's in the Bible is God's word. And don't ever doubt it. You don't have to argue about it. Some people may argue this and that, but I not only believe that the Word of God was inspired, but I believe that it's been preserved by God. If He wrote it, and if He's God, I think He could preserve it. And to me, the King James Bible is the best preserved Word of God we have. You could go back and argue some things, but I've seen too much out of the King James. You're not going to get me to change my mind. When I was in Bible college and the new versions were coming out, back at that time in my life, I thought, well, it's just men trying to make it easier to understand, changing a word here or there. But now as we look back over these 50-some years, 70-some years of new translations coming out, they didn't change a word here and there. They changed thoughts. They changed the intent of what God intended it to be. And this is our Bible from beginning to end. And this is what Brother Ross uses, and you know that. I don't have to tell you that. Now, I want to give you five things tonight to consider in the preaching of God's Word. Number one, inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Number two, content of the message. Number three, preparation of each thought that goes in the message. Number four, presentation to the congregation. And number five, the congregation being prepared to hear God's word. It takes all of these to make a good and a godly and a perfect sermon. Number one is inspiration. First and foremost, it's received by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's either true or it's a lie. If only part of it's given by God, then that's a lie. Take that verse out of the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God does not leave us empty-handed. He does not put us out on a job site and say, okay, I expect you to be done by 4 p.m. No tools, no equipment, nothing to handle it. He's equipped us with everything we need, the Word of God, the Bible. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Humanly speaking, they don't understand it. But those of us that are saved, we know how the Holy Spirit has worked in our lives to a much lesser degree than what he has worked in the apostles and in the prophets of old time. He literally took control of them. And the book of Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. I believe that God was directly involved in Moses and gave him word for word what he was to put. And I've got to tell you something. This year and my study of Scripture, I've preached this before, that up through Genesis and Exodus chapter 20, I enjoy it for my Bible devotions. Exodus chapter 20, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This year, I have determined to read word for word out of all of it. And I'm still in it, but I'm telling you, God is speaking to me like he never has. Some of the so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. Even out of that, there are things that pop out, and I never knew that. And God gives me a thought on that. It's God's word. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. So if I can challenge you, don't wait until you're 76 years old. Do it now, whatever age you are. Brother Don, I look around the church now, and I've tried to figure out who all's older than me. And it's a job anymore. And I don't know who is and who isn't, okay? But don't wait until you're old and decrepit like some of us. Get in on it now. Allow the Holy Spirit to input and put it in your heart and life. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. This was from Moses to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation and everything in between. The Holy Spirit moved men, inspired them, written and then preserved the words of God. Matthew 5:18 says, not one jot or one tittle is going to go undone in the Word of God. And we need to realize how important it is. Most churches, and even in our independent fundamental Baptist churches today, I'm sad to say that the Bible, they preach it and they teach it, but I'm wondering how many love it and live for it and live on it and live in it. Let me tell you, there is no second place to that. The Word of God is it. So sermon preparation comes from the Word of God. Secondly, is the content of a message. The content of sermons involves study. It is work, but to the student of God's Word, it is not laborious. It takes a lot of study in the Word of God to come to a thorough understanding of it. And what's more, a thorough application of it. Not only knowing it up here, but allowing it to get down here. And that's where the Word of God becomes the living Word, because it takes control of your heart, takes control of your thoughts, and every aspect of your life is evolved around the Word of God. Your jobs, your children, your spouses, everything. When the Word of God is in here and in a right perspective, everything just seems to fall into place. Amen. Okay, content is very important. Jokes, illustrations, personal admonitions, they're all okay and they're needed, but all preaching should contain the scripture rightly divided. Have you ever heard a sermon? And I mean one that sort of grabs you, but on your way home, you're thinking, what did he say? What was in it for me? Oh man, a great orator. But where's the content? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's why we blanket everything we do here. Sunday school and church and children's program and all the activities that we have out here, everything is tempered by the content of the Word of God. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And content is very important. Every once in a while, I'll say something from this pulpit, and if I don't have chapter and verse on it, I'll say, now this is Joe Asbury's thought. It may be right, but it may be wrong. We get to heaven, I'll apologize for it. But a thought like that goes through. And I may have said this. Let me give you a thought that's gone through my mind recently. Remember when Christ was going up to the cross, and the young man there, and he lost his coat and ran away naked. You ever wonder who that young man was? Now, this is Joe Asbury. It's not a chapter and verse, not a scripture. But I think it very well could have been the rich young man that said, good master, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God, to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, do this, do this, do this. He said, I've done all those from my youth up. Go and sell all that thou hast, and then shalt thou have life. Wouldn't it be something we get to heaven, we find out that rich young man went out and eventually, through the working of the Holy Spirit, sold everything he had and gave it away. And when he followed Christ to the cross, had nothing but a coat, and he lost it on the way. I think it makes good preaching. It's not scriptural, but it's good preaching. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And that's why our church is a soul-winning church. Incidentally, did any of you see in the paper this week, Mrs. Ross, that there's going to be a funeral for a man here in Jacksonville that died, and Pastor Jerry Ross is going to preach the funeral? I text Pastor Ross, and he texted me back. He said, I don't know him. Well, I'm going to tell you who he is in case you've read it. He's from here in Jacksonville. He was in Breckenridge Nursing Home. And a week ago today at our Bible study, his wife came down before we got started and said, could you come down and talk with my husband? His name is Ross Hill. And I went down and talked to him, and he was in a coma. And I gave him the gospel exactly step by step. And I said, if you're doing this, if you can hear me and understand this, can you squeeze my hand? He was in a coma. His fingers went, but not convincingly. I don't know if he heard it or got saved. His wife wanted him to hear that one last time. Well, she contacted the people at Breckenridge, and they found out that the nursing home service was from Blessed Hope, Pastor Jerry Ross. So they put in the newspaper that he was going to preach the funeral. Well, I talked to her this afternoon, and I'm going to preach it. It's not the funeral. It's only going to be a graveside service. That'll give me an opportunity to present the gospel to all of his family and all of his church. So if you would, pray for me. This first funeral I've done 50 years. I did a youth conference summer before last. First one ever. I think God's getting me started all over again. I'm excited about it. Okay? And so on. But it's the word of truth. And this last verse on that, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be careful when you delve into it. I tell people, this is my opinion. I can't give you a chapter and verse. I want to be honest. But whenever there's a chapter and verse, I'll stand on it and I'll not back down to anybody for any reason. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now think about this. Children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth, the truth of God's word. Not in love, in other words, our talk, but our walk. The old song, your talk talks a lot louder than your walk talks. No, no, no. Your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks. I get confused easily. But you know what I mean. In other words, whatever you say, live up to it. And what you ought to do once in a while is put a little something up here that you got to strive for. You know, we've been saved so long, we just sort of go with the flow down here. What are you striving for up here that you have not yet attained? Now, third thing on sermon is the preparation of it. The preparation. I think you can get from what Pastor says, he spends a lot of time in his office back here going over sermons. And a lot of dedicated study because he considers this a serious responsibility to come out here and preach to a congregation here or anywhere else for that matter. This involves much dedication and meditation, thinking about the Word of God. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Boy, we need the mind of Christ when we're reading the Bible. It'll come from obedience, from surrender, putting ourselves in a place where the Holy Spirit can reveal some things to us. A lot of it just goes over our head. The Holy Spirit does His job, but we don't have anything up here to stop it. An antenna to take it in, and it just goes away. Then, let this mind be in you. Then Psalm 63:6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. I cannot tell you how many times that I wake up in the morning early, way before I want to get up. But I'm wide awake and thinking on a Bible verse or a topic, and God gives me something to just thrill my soul. A lot of my sermons come from things like that. Psalm 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I love the old-timers' works. A week ago this Monday, I went to a dinner up at Terre Haute Bible Center. Terre Haute Bible Center used to be the Bible Center of Terre Haute. where revival took place. Souls got saved. Preaching was heard from the pulpit with the power of God behind it. My grandmother and grandfather were charter members of that church. I went up, and on the walls up there, the church right now is just a skeleton of what it used to be. It used to be in the hundreds, if not the thousands, of church members and people. And I found on the wall some pictures. One, I saw a picture of my grandfather. He died in 1953. That thrilled my soul to think I've got roots back like that. I saw two pictures that I found my grandmother in with a whole group of the church. And I looked and I looked and I had to take one down and turn it just right. But I wouldn't swear it was her, but it sure looked like her. One was a vacation, another picture, Vacation Bible School, 1945. I was born in April. This was in June. And on the front row was a young lady, and right behind her was a young man that had big ears. My brother and my sister. They're 7 and 8 years older than me. I couldn't swear that it was them, but the ears, I think, gave it away. I remember the days of old. On my coffee table at home, I've told you this, I've got a picture of my grandmother and grandfather. I look at it every day. And I thank God that they were praying for me. And through the ladies of Terre Haute Bible Center, God got hold of my heart. God led me to my wife, Connie. She should have never married me. Her pastor today would smack her to marry a guy like I was. But God was in it. Now, young ladies, don't take that as an okay to go out, because you need to know what God's will is. God's will turned out okay there because of the prayers of my grandma to get me back in where I should have been. And God brought us together and put me in the ministry. I love to think back about things like that. The good old days. Bible talks about in the Old Testament. Don't remove the old landmarks. Put them down, put them steep, and draw up to them and draw strength from them. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear. Meditate. So the preparation is pastor's meditation, the presentation for you to meditate and for me to meditate. Now, the fourth after the preparation is the presentation of the sermon. We have seen in all of Christian history that God allows and uses various different individual speakers. Some are very dynamic and demand your attention, but they don't say anything worth listening to. But most of them do. Some are very laid back and read almost thought by thought. And you think, oh man, how boring. But every thought that's presented is based on Scripture and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an illustration. Back in the great enlightening, great awakening of America, in early America, you know, we've heard about the great revivals back then where people just come to the altar, and during the preaching, people would come out and crawl to the altar and beg for mercy of God to be saved. because the power of God was on them. You know where that power came from? Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. You need to respond. This is about what it was. They said he stood up, and one place I saw he had a candle in one hand and a sermon in another, but different places maybe. He preached the sermon over and over as God used. But he held it in his hand and he read it word for word. And people crawled to the aisle, devastated by the power of God on their life, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and revival broke out. And that's when George Whitfield and the ones came from England, John and Charles Wesley came over and took advantage of that and got in on it. But it started with Jonathan Edwards reading Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Here's a man that was sold out to God, lock, stock, and barrel. Our actions should totally be dependent on surrender to the Holy Spirit. Do not judge a message by the presentation, nor the length, nor the volume, but by the content of what you're getting. As much as possible, do not respond to the preacher, me nor any other preacher, but to the moving of the Holy Spirit and the content of the message. Boy, we need revival in America. Wouldn't it be great to start right here at Blessed Hope? We've got the makings for it. Let's pray for it and ask God. Number five, preaching is intended to and for the congregation of individuals. This involves not only the preacher coming to the pulpit being prepared, Spirit-filled, and Spirit-led, but that the congregation come the same way. When pastor gets up here and preach, sometimes it just goes like this. Thank God we have people respond almost every service. And I believe that we've got a congregation of sold-out people. But not all of us. And I'll guarantee you there's not one of us in here today. Like Paul said, I have not yet achieved, but this one thing I do. If you think you've achieved, you've missed the mark somewhere. We're still working. This involves not only the preacher coming, I read that, but the congregation. And this involves, number one, living pure lives. I mean the absence of worldly desires and actions. As I've read a lot of the Baptist history, you know what they had in early America? Bars, dances, gambling halls. That was their evil way of life back then. And when revivals come into a city and broke out and got hold of people's hearts, they closed them down. The dance halls closed. Nobody would go out and play cards anymore. The taverns would close. Thank God, I would to God that we could close taverns today. Close down the filthy garbage that's on the internet today. I don't know. I know the power of God can do it, but we can't. But there's no reason not to ask God for it. Living pure lives. But let me tell you this, regardless of the filth of the state and all that goes on around us, there's no excuse for any of us to have that filth in our life. any part of it that separates us from the power of God and doing God's work. So number one, it involves pure living. Number two, being faithful in obedience to all that God expects of us. In other words, service to God. We got our pastor. We got our pastoral staff. We got our school staff. That's only a nick in the beginning of it. We've got the church, and every one of you are a minister of the Word of God in some way or another. Every one of you, find that. Find what your niche is that you can do. It may be cleaning the toilets, sweeping the floor. It may be carpenter work, whatever it is. Some of us are not very adept at much of anything, so we got to spread ourselves out and try and do a little bit everywhere. But some of you have got abilities that the rest of us don't have. And you need to dedicate that and bring it in as service under the leader of the Holy Spirit of God. And again, as a congregation, when you come for the preaching of God's Word, we come here and pray. It's a prayer meeting. But if this is all the prayer that you do up here, it's not going to be effective. If prayer is not an active moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day in your life, coming up here for 15 minutes will not do it. Being prayed up for ourselves, for the preacher, and each other who may be there in need of God's work in their life. There ought not be an unsaved person come in here that can sit through the preaching of God's Word and just get up and walk out that door without having the Holy Spirit pound nails in their heart. That'll only come because we spend our time in prayer day in, day out. Now, does that mean we got to be down on our knees 24? No. In a prayer closet? No. It means that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, be in a spirit of prayer. Paul told the Philippians, pray without ceasing. That ought to be our attitude. So as the preacher comes out, delivers the message, whether it's Pastor Ross, whether it's me, whether it's another preacher, don't listen to how we say it. Listen to what we say. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to drive it home in your hearts and lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to be here tonight and to share this message. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would undertake. I believe everyone that I've looked at in here tonight, I think, are saved. Probably already a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But if there's one person, just one, that does not have the assurance of salvation, oh Lord, what an eternal hope in our heart and life to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're on our way to heaven. Work in lives tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.